Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. We'll win a $100 gift card to the Woodhouse Spa. Main Street in Williamsville, the Woodhouse Spa is a great place. This holiday, give her the one thing she really wants, time for herself with a Woodhouse Spa package or gift card. Good luck. Pretty much with these, it's over pretty early, these contests.
Yeah.
Caller 5 happens right. Fast.
Yeah, it does. You can't wait.
If a minute goes by, it's probably too late from hearing me talk right now. Do something, Yarmo. Bulldog, will that be the theme tonight in the building?
I don't. I think it's a little early for do something, Yarmo, but I don't even know what this is to say. I think a lot of Sabres fans are thinking the same thing I'm thinking. We talked to Nick Bakay an hour and a half ago from California. He watches all these games when work allows, and he pretty much summed it up too. Like, just don't fall flat. You've got our attention. You've won 3 in a row. You changed the GM. You can be skeptical about whether they'll follow through on how it sounds and how he sounds, but authority, right? Autonomy, spend to the cap. I'm gonna take over this Tuck situation. Okay, go play a good game tonight in front of your home crowd. Okay, like, don't make them hate you 8 minutes into the game or something. Like, just please.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just do it. Like, I'm there's so many recent examples. There was a couple of years ago, 3 years ago maybe, I can think of a home game against Philly early in the year where they had a couple of good games in a row, and it's Friday night, and it's the Flyers, my wife, and we're going to go out. I'm going to go out and get a fish fry and sit at the bar and watch a hockey game, and the game starts, and it's 2-0 before the first TV timeout. And like, come on, right? Tonight is very much a come on game. Like, get it together tonight. They had a nice end to this road trip, salvaging, 6 points out of a 12-point possibility. They, obviously lost the first three, but won 3 in a row. Something they hadn't done all year anywhere, let alone on the road. They hadn't been good on the road at all. So hopefully carry that through and start building something, because when we talked earlier, we'll talk to Paul here in a half an hour or so in advance of this game. I don't know if they need to win 10 in a row, but, a couple 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 would really go a long way.
I don't need to be – listen to this. I don't need to be in a playoff spot by the end of the month. I just want to have life.
Right.
10 straight wins? Who does that ever? What I want to have is life. I want to have a full season of being interested – in how this is going to go. And, you know, like we did talk about with Nick also, there are maybe two schools of thought at this moment for the Sabres. Either get rolling, perhaps this move will breathe some life into the locker room and you have more of a believable, decent team off of it. Or you want it to go the other way so that they'll start doing things you would consider serious, like a team, you know, like your buddy's favorite team would do, like a real team would do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quality of this team is almost like right in the middle there, where it's not impossible to see them win. Like, not the Stanley Cup, but it's not impossible to see them like build a season
right
from right now. But it's also not likely necessarily that they'll do that. I mean, it's really down the middle for me right here, which makes this timing really interesting. The bigger, I don't know, I'm not speaking for everybody. The bigger question about the Sabres isn't so much, you know, the players they have, how good are they, just like what will that amount to? It's not like they're terrible, but will they do the things that you would really, like a real team would do, no offense, if they, I guess I can't say that, like a real team would do if they had a chance. And that's what has been the most frustrating element of the last few years is having, like Paul's going to bring up, because he always does, their losing streak last year and how like that was it, and they didn't make a move on it.
Right.
And sort of these times when you just wonder what their biggest objective is, just like not break up their team or offend anybody or spend money or whatever it is that they're not doing, because that's kind of how they've played has made you wonder these things. And you want that to not be true anymore. And just because they have a new GM doesn't mean it necessarily is different now. Because that is more of an ownership thing, or it can be, than it is a GM thing. Now you want to, this situation is, okay, well, is it going to be different in that respect? It's not a different team than it was the last time they played a home game. But is right. there a different energy? Is there a different attitude and vision for it all that you see play out, and a fan might be able to say, okay, well, they're not just going to sit there and watch it die again, like has happened in other years. It's 2 years ago now where they needed a defenseman basically the whole season and just never did anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay. Like that's right. The kind of thing that really should never happen.
Right. And 3 years ago, they needed a goalie almost all year, and they waited until Devin Levi came out of college and tried to have him save them. And, you know, that went all right at the outset when he got here. But then he's not been their regular goalie in the two seasons since. And this is now a third. They've missed on some stuff that I think they talk themselves into believing. Like, this is going to be the thing. This will, you know. And the Levi thing was easy to be skeptical about. I was. And we'll see. Like, he's had a very uneven year, even this year in Rochester. He started out great, and then the last time I looked, I haven't looked in a couple weeks, but everything was really bad, like below 900 save percentage, and like it was not going well. So I don't know if that's turned around of late, not to get focused on him, but I do feel like what will be different here now, and you know maybe it'll be too late, I don't think Kekalainen will wait around. I think if something isn't different, like if their effort overall isn't different, I wouldn't be surprised at all if very quickly he moved on a coach and did some, you know, whether that's dismissing Lindy entirely or just removing him and bumping him upstairs, which was all in the wind last week when all this stuff started percolating about Adams eventually being fired. Maybe that's where we end up, but a change to me could happen. And I don't know. A lot of the stuff last week was Lindy upstairs, Appert takes over. He's one of the assistant coaches. And I don't know about that. Like I could see this guy going into the pool and pulling out somebody that he's familiar with or, you know, whatever. Just trying to do something to affect the change. Like if he's going to put his name on his first day on the job, I believe we can make the playoffs. I don't think he's going to sit around and wait for them to lose four in a row. I mean, I think he's
going to. That's what we want the most.
He is going to act. So hopefully they, you know, have a good effort tonight and he can objectively attack that. He may want to make the change anyway. I don't know. He's just waiting to see how it goes. You know, we'll see. But I think his reputation is that he will not just patiently sit with his hands folded.
Good. Good.
So I hope that well, I don't know. On one hand, I hope it doesn't get tested. You know, if they play well enough that he doesn't have to do something dramatic. Maybe the biggest thing here to me, you can talk about the organization and like are they a real team? Do the players believe in it? And that does go all the way up to the top. I think that's where the Tuck contract comes into play, because this team, these players have known all year, all summer and into the season now, what his situation is, and have seen nothing happen. And, you know, the players, they aren't going to want to hear about the spreadsheet and the cap 2 years from now or 3 years from now. They're looking at a vital guy to their team, and his future is undecided. And look, everyone wants to be professional, but that can weigh on you in different ways. And I think that needs to be alleviated as soon as possible. And frankly, I think this guy, again, Kekalainen, if he doesn't think they can get to a number, I don't think he'll just let it sit. I think he'll act. And that may not go over well. You know, maybe the kind of thing that could, because they're not going to get no contending team that's trading for Alex Tuck, hypothetically, if it gets to that, is giving you Alex Tuck in return. You're like, you're getting futures. That's the way that trade almost always goes. Unless some team just has a spare part guy that can play top 6 minutes. I don't know, maybe they hate their guy and whatever. I just don't think you're going to get one for one, I can keep going here to try to win right now. If I trade Alex Tuck away, I think that's a rebuilding type move.
If the Sabres were on a 3-year playoff drought, I'd probably want them to trade him at 14 years. I mean, just all of this is, well, not all of it, but when you think your team won't do anything about their problems, it just takes all the fun out of it as a fan. Even if, you know, people say like trades for trade's sake and that kind of thing. It's just, that's part of the fun of rooting for a team is kind of being on the edge of your seat, thinking that when there are issues that they'd be addressed, and the Sabres have taken that fun out of it. Not just the fact that it's been ineffective. It's just like you kind of feel like have known for a long time that they're just not going to do anything about anything.
Right.
And that's no good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Paul Hamilton. He has the facts to back up his opinions. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul, in a moment, tonight, Sabres and Flyers. There's also Seahawks and Rams tonight from Seattle. And one quick note on that game that's kind of interesting. The winner of the game controls their destiny for the one seed, the division and the one seed. But add to that, if the Seattle Seahawks win, the Niners also control their own destiny because they play the Seahawks. So the Niners rooting for Seattle, because if Seattle wins, both Seattle and the Niners control their own destiny for the one seed. If the Rams win, they control their own destiny for the one seed, and they would finish out with the Falcons and the Cardinals, the Rams. So they might have the best road. And if they win that game tonight, they're in the driver's seat in a big way. Paul Hamilton joining us. He's on the Western Hotline. Sabres and Flyers tonight. 7:30 game, the first in the Jarmo Kekalainen era. And Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul, good morning.
Hello, guys. How are you?
How was the tone at practice yesterday? I mean, was it overly obvious people are refreshed? Is it just a normal day where people are talking about the change? What was your read of the room?
It was kind of like a normal day. I mean, the players that we spoke with, which are the leadership group, the captains, were kind of down with the by saying, you know, it's our fault that we got this guy fired. I mean, that means we didn't do the job, and that's on us. And Tuck thanked Adams for like bringing him to Buffalo and bringing him to the Sabres, and Thompson thanked him for his contract, and he said, you know, he believed in him when others didn't, and allowed him to kind of grow into what he is right now in the NHL. And even Darlene said, look, at GMs can only do so much, but you know, he goes, it's on us. We're the ones on the ice, not them. And, you know, they all just kind of felt bad that they thought they let Kevin Adams down.
Hmm. Well, taking that personally, I mean, now they have a chance, I guess, to kind of start fresh with a new GM. And, you know, Paul, I wonder how many players have the whatever. Do they go to Jarmo and meet with him individually, right? You have exit meetings with a GM. Do you have entrance meetings? Would he want to sit down with each guy and just kind of talk about their game?
Well, he's been around, so it's not like he hasn't been in the room chatting with people before. As Lindy Ruff said, he was in the coach's office every day, you know, with him and Adams, and, you know, they would all talk hockey and talk about the players and talk about this and talk about that. So he said it's not really, you know, strange to have him around anyway. So, and Ruff said he didn't know him before that. But now he knows him really well, knows what he likes about hockey, what he doesn't, about, you know, part of the game. And he said it was good to have him around because it was just another set of eyes and another voice to talk about, you know, what he sees and what he doesn't. And as far as the players, Dowling said it was very short. You know, he came in, he addressed the team. It wasn't individually. It was kind of quick, and he let them know. And as Darlene said, he goes, I heard what he told you guys yesterday. He goes, that was basically it. You know, he came into the room and said that. And now Darlene being the captain, I think they'll talk a little bit more as needed or as things go on, because I think Adams met with Darlene not a lot, but I think, you know, when needed, and talk to the captain. So I think Jarmo would probably be the same way.
Paul, do you think there's anything to read from tonight's starting goalie? They've had time off, right? They can kind of reset the rotation if they want to, if it's going to be UPL and Alex Lyon. And I know Kekalainen, he said he leaves lineups to the coaches, but he might tell them what he's thinking or give some input. Is there anything more to read based on who starts tonight, do you think?
No, the only thing you can read into it is he's won three in a row. And so he's on a roll, so that Lindy Ruff feels he's the best guy to get a win. I mean, he let him kind of get on a roll. He played in four straight games, didn't start them all, but played in them. And Lyon hadn't won a game since October, the Toronto game, if you remember.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he wins three in a row. So I think Lindy Ruff would be insane not to put him in net and keep going with him. So, you know, that's where that decision lies. I don't think it has anything to do with GM or Kekalainen or Adams or anybody else.
Lyon, the goalie for both the all three, Edmonton, Vancouver, Seattle. The Sabres come in on a three-game win streak over the Western Conference. It's right after giving up seven to Calgary for the Sabres, right? Like, you know, he was he went into that game in relief. Paul, with regard to where they are on the three-goalie rotation, they don't have to answer this question yet because Colton Ellis is hurt. What is the latest timeline for when that might become a problem again?
They don't give timelines, but I mean, Kekalainen did say we're going to have to make a decision here.
Yeah,
you know, that's coming up. So, because he mentioned just what you did. Well, right now Ellis is injured, and the update with him is he's still in concussion protocol, and he'll be reevaluated on Friday, tomorrow. So we'll see where that goes. But he did admit that they have to make a decision and they have to figure this out. So that the timeline didn't come, but it's coming. I mean, I would say sooner than later.
Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Ray Laxanda. And finally, Paul, like the Yarmo side of things, Lindy's take on all of it. And I saw he expressed the same kind of thing, like disappointment. He felt like he let Kevin Adams down. But there's been plenty of speculation about Lindy Ruff's future, and that will continue for a little while here. So what's Lindy's tone on any sort of conversation around that?
And he was asked if it was brought up with Terry Pegula because, you know, he had a conversation with him. He said, nope, that wasn't brought up at all. It was just, you know, when Terry Pegula had made this decision, which Lindy Ruff was not part of, he let Lindy Ruff know about his decision. And he said that was their the point of their conversation. And, you know, as far as what he talking with Kekalainen just said, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, type of a scenario. So he said it had not been brought up with either Pegula or with Kekalainen.
Do you either share the opinion or at least respect the reality of the idea that for Kekalainen, he said he has full autonomy, that for people to truly believe that more things have to come, do you don't have to share it, but do you understand how people might say that?
Yeah, I mean, and more things. I mean, you may see him start filling out the hockey department with maybe some people he worked with in Columbus. You know, some people he trusts, and I would know who we're talking about here. But whether we're talking about scouting or things like that, you may see because you know, in any sport, when somebody takes over, they like to have their own people around them. So who are those people? Who are people that he really trusts and that he liked being around last time he was a GM? So I think those are the types of moves that we might see start trickling into the organization as we move forward here.
Only additions, though? Not like changes?
Oh, no, you can see some subtraction, sure. Yeah. I mean, because he's gotten to know people. I mean, he's been in meetings and with the hockey department, things like that. So he has seen people. So, no, absolutely. Now, whether he would do that in the middle of a season, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if he would or he wouldn't. You know, if he was thinking of making those types of changes, he might wait till the end of the year. That I don't know. But, yeah, I think you could expect additions and subtractions.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Tonight it's Sabres and Flyers from KeyBank Center, a 7:30 puck drop. And the playoffs, you know, Kekalainen, one thing he did say is he firmly believes this team can make the playoffs this year. Do you feel like it would be worth pointing to a, you know, small goal? Like Lindy had been doing the 6 out of 10 points. Could I get to New Year's and, you know, you've made up, I don't know, half the distance? That may be tough. Like it's a long road when you have to climb over everybody, Paul. They are 7 points out of the final spot that is a playoff spot. That's wild card. And the division third place is also 39 points. So I don't know. Can I get within 5 points in a month? Like I feel like with Kekalainen, what I would want, without saying anything about like tanking, but I'd want once they decide if they're going to think they can make it or not, I'd want a bold move in one way or the other.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, too, we've talked about the three-game winning streak, and you've taken 6 out of 6 points, and here you are still in last place in the conference. they've also won 9 out of 15, which isn't a bad record.
Yeah.
You know? And where has it gotten them? They have not passed one team, and they've won 9 out of 15 games. So that just shows you how difficult it is just to pass one team. You know, and so it's not necessarily, well, they're 4 points behind the Rangers, who are, you know, four notches up in the standings, and that's all fine and good. And you might catch the Rangers, but did you catch Columbus, Ottawa, and Toronto too? You know, so that just shows you how difficult it is to pass teams when you're this far down in the standings, not the point total behind. They were 7 points behind the Devils, and they were in ninth place. I'd say they're okay. They can make up 7 points on the Devils and get into the playoffs. But, you know, when they're 7 points behind the Devils, and have to get past eight teams, and I think it just shows you. I think nine out of 15 games for wins is good, but it's not good enough to even pass one team yet.
We'll be listening tonight, Paul, 7:30 puck drop from KeyBank Center, and maybe, you know, maybe a little bit extra of juice in the arena tonight for the start of a new regime. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how the fans are, and see how the team is and how they come out on the ice. It'll be interesting.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Flyers tonight.
And Michael Kesselring back in the lineup tonight.
Right. He's another one we've not really been able to see an extended run, it feels like. Missed the start of the season. Missed time again.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Let's have it. Let's find your way, I guess. Lyon getting another bit of run here. Like, maybe that's for the best. At the start of the season, he got hot for them.
Yeah.
And then he kind of fell out of the spot. Maybe he can get it back. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. Nate's in for Joe today. It's a Thursday. Rams and Seahawks tonight.
Two straight games for Zach Benson, by the way, goals. I know one was an empty net, but, you know, don't let him get hot.
Don't let him get hot. Sure.
Or do get hot. That'd be nice, actually, if he could score some goals.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Alex Tuck, too. Tuck's in like that contract year / deadline year / I mean, he's certainly in the driver's seat. The Sabres are openly talking about how important it is to get him back.
And, yeah.
You know, whether it's numbers or see if Kekalainen gets moving on.
Well,
that.
It's interesting to see the numbers get talked about because we, up until this point, had not heard the numbers.
Which, by the way, it's worth pointing out. Who leaked that?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Adams?
I would assume.
Like, well, here's what he wants.
Who else knew that?
This is why it's not done yet. Here's what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, he leaked that on the way out. Just here's a grenade.
Unless it's Tuck's agent that says
No, it was, Drager said it was Adams.
Adams told him? Mm. Okay, there you go.
Drager said on TSN. Adams told me this is what Tuck's looking for.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, because Tuck's agent wouldn't really have any benefit of leaking the number.
No, they wouldn't
unless
that out there.
Sure, right. But if he said Kevin Adams told me, then that's that. The benefit of leaking the number, if you're Tuck's agent, would be like, this is not a crazy ask. It's not 14.
I think that's tough with where the numbers are right now to have any number that's really what you're asking for.
You're getting your usual your yearly NFL sticker shock, except it's happening in the NHL. Every single year in the NFL, that guy got that money. It's like, yes, the cap went up $40 million again. Yes, right. That's how it's going to work.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you know, that one sounded weird.
Yeah, the voice a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm still getting over the cold. It's still lingering. I thought it was gone when I was in Florida.
What, you come back from Florida and like insta-cold?
Yeah, it actually would track. Actually.
Yeah, pretty much
that
track.
That tracks.
I lost it for a little bit. I mean, it's the air down there. I lose the cough a little bit. I get back that night and like immediately it was back and I'm like...
Yep.
Yeah, all right. I expect that. I knew it was coming. It is what it is. It's that season. It's that time of the year.
That's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I had residual thoughts from yesterday. The presser, also the dismissal of Adams entirely. I've been holding on to that because that's kind of how we do it around here. And it's time to let some of this out. Zach, when it comes to everything from the presser yesterday, though, I was overall very impressed. Kekalainen was on with Jeremy and Joe just about an hour ago, and I think I liked a lot of what he said there as well. Again, the highlight being non-committal to the coaching staff, and it does seem like that is something where, yeah, nobody's safe right now, and that should be the case when a new general manager arrives.
I mean, yeah, you're doing this for a reason. Adams is the main character of it all, but Lindy has not been perfect in his second tenure as head coach for the Sabres. They are second to last in the East. I think that's why most of us were somewhat expecting an announcement even yesterday, although being the one chair, not too surprising. But I think that's why I was expecting another announcement. We'll see if anything comes to kind of what we also heard Kekalainen say yesterday, which is everything is under evaluation. We did see one move yesterday. Isak Rosén goes back down to Rochester. Don't know what that means. I thought somebody was going to be coming off of IR, whether that be Jason Zucker, Yuri Kulik, you know, with his situation, with the blood clots, no idea. But haven't seen anything substantial from that end yet. Yeah, I think for me, now having slept on it, you know, about 24 hours since, he does sound like someone that has the experience. That's the bare minimum. I've kind of hit with wanting, you know, guys in these head positions, whether it be head coach or general manager, just have any semblance of experience before they're hired by the Sabres. But, you know, to put it, you know, just in the simplest terms, he sounded like an adult. He sounded like he had been there, done that, knows what to say. I will tell you, I don't love not embracing the drought. I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. I would rather kind of have a general manager or head coach or even players acknowledge that, no, it's not our fault, but it is our responsibility to end that. And I think
Paul Hamilton did a good job of bringing the insight on that of like why the fans turn on this team very quickly.
Right. And I think there is almost, and this maybe isn't true, but it's kind of how I'm perceiving it. It is almost a defense mechanism of like to not take it all and just be like, well, no, we're going year by year. Nope. A lot of you have been here for multiple years of this drought, even if they got in that shortened season, 2020, we'd be on a 5-6 year playoff drought, which still in the NHL is a very long time.
Which would be most of Adam's tenure.
And so, like, that's my thing is, like, no,
good
sure.
God.
All 14 years is not everybody. It realistically, physically couldn't be.
Oh my God,
but
that
even if
the
they
entire...
got into the shortened season, they would still be on another playoff drought.
That would be Adam's entire tenure.
And it'd be his entire tenure.
Oh my God.
And so, no, I don't blame everybody for it, but I also don't love the deflecting of, you know, it's not all these guys. We just got to focus on this year. And then also to that extent as well, this is fine. Every GM's going to say this is not a Kekalainen thing. But, like, kind of dismissing the whole just get into the playoffs because you want to say you want to go win a cup. I get that. They're not a cup-winning team. They're not even really close. They are in a position of you just got to get in. You got to get some of that toxicity out of the organization, I think, before you can move forward.
I do think there's something to not wanting to face that outside pressure and do what you need to do and set out to do. I think there's merit to that on the other side of this argument. And I'm not
putting this up just for the sake of it, I did like that he said, no, we have a plan, we're going to attack it. I'm not going to sacrifice everything just to make the playoffs 1 year. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. Because I liken it to the Columbus Blue Jackets thought that they were a team that could make some noise in the postseason. And they went all in, not trading their UFAs, trading for a couple of rentals. And then they, because what they were doing, though, was they started getting hot. They were a team that thought that they were better than where they were in the standings, made the aggressive moves. They bring in Duchesne. They bring in Ryan Dzingel. They keep Bobrovsky and Panarin knowing that those two are going to walk away from them for nothing. That was, we're better than what we are. We're going to do something about it. And if it fails, it fails. And like, we're probably out of the job. But that's Kekalainen. That's the kind of guy he is. He saw the plan and he attacked it. So that wasn't, we're going to make the playoffs just to make the playoffs. No, that was, we should be able to make some noise. And they do.
Yeah.
They sweep the President's Trophy Lightning. Are you kidding? And then they even get a couple against Boston and ultimately fall. Boston, who that year, by the way, makes the Stanley Cup final. That's a guy who knows that contextually it's different. If he thinks this team can make some noise in the Eastern Conference, he's going to do something about it accordingly because he has a track record. That's something that we haven't been able to say about a general manager in a long time. Matter of fact,
well, since the 70s.
I was going to say, combine our ages, Zach.
Yeah.
We can get pretty close to the number. We'd shoot it over because, you know, I'm older than you. But
my point, I think it's 79 with Scotty Bowman.
Yeah. But my point remains that I do like that he's putting it into the isolation of, I have a plan. I'm looking at everything right now on how to execute the plan. Nobody's safe. But I'm not going to worry about the exterior pressure of it to make sure that this plan gets going. And if it means one more year, first of all, they're still in second to last place in the Eastern Conference. What's the harm really being done here? They fired the general manager. That typically means you've had a bad year. Or that you're likely to not make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that pressure's probably off right now, at least for this year. What's another year to it? I thought that this was going to be the case when Adams was retained. As for the coach, it's fascinating to me that Lindy Ruff, there's been discussion about it. Kekalainen hasn't been committal to Ruff. Ruff's contract expires at the end of the year. And everyone saw that signing as, he's long in the tooth. Is he really going to do more than 2 years here anyway? And the Sabres kind of put together a plan, almost like Seth Appert's this coach in waiting sort of thing, by bringing him up from Rochester, making him the primary assistant to Lindy Ruff. It seems like the Sabres are acutely aware that Lindy Ruff was not going to be long for this. And that's why Kekalainen might not be committal to him, because of the fact that, well, Lindy probably doesn't have much time to do this. And if that's the case, I might want to get started now.
Yeah.
But a move has not been made yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like there's already something, like reading the tea leaves. You can kind of see some of these things, even on the complete outside. Sometimes you're wrong, but the speculation can always be there.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on what we heard from yesterday and today from new Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekalainen. We'll also get to the Bills as well coming up in about 15 minutes. Sal Capaccio will join the show. The Bills are back at practice today. They do sign a kicker yesterday officially, Michael Badgley, of course, with Matt Prater going down with a quad injury. They literally had to do that. Real quick, though, last thing for me on the Sabres situation and all that. I'm excited. I'm happy they made the move. I will say, though, there is other things that have to be done. It's not the most worrying situation that they could be in. Like, for me, the thing I was most scared about was that Adams wouldn't actually leave the organization. He would just be moved into a different role, and that ultimately everything would stay the same. Like, realistically, you could look at from the outside and go, yeah, nothing's changed. And while that's not totally true here, we have mentioned it. They still have assistants on this roster that are from the Ralph Krueger days, or at least the Don Granato days. Lindy has realistically not even been able to hire much of his own staff. Lindy even is, I think, part of the problem where you're seeing a lot of the warts in his coaching style. And so, yeah, like there are still things that need to change. It's the early days. It's his first week. We haven't even actually played a game with Jarmo Kekäläinen as the general manager of the Sabres.
They don't play till tomorrow.
You know, they don't play again till tomorrow. And they are on a three-game win streak. Like they're not totally dead or out of it. And so I'm excited going forward, but it is a middle-of-the-season GM hiring. Like there's only so much I can really expect. That's why I've also mentioned I'm frustrated that Adams is even given half a year. I equated a lot to NFL teams with head coaches, where you draft the quarterback in the first round, and yet you will fire what we all knew was dead man walking coach midway through the year, thus probably botching the development of your rookie quarterback and setting your franchise back 5 years. I think in part because you just kind of didn't want to make the hard decision, or you allowed probably a charlatan to convince you to keep them another 6 months, which is not even a really good, you know, sale case if they came and make it another year. And it's not to say Adams is a charlatan or anything like that. I'm putting that in grandiose terms of
around sports.
Yeah, why are you still here when I'm going to fire you in 6 months? Why even go through that process? Is it all just, I don't want to pay you that extra 6 months of money to not work here? Maybe. Fine. If that's your reasoning, that's your reasoning. I don't love it. You're an owner. You're probably a billionaire. But it is what it is. But now Kekäläinen's got a lot to figure out, whether it be the Tuck situation, the three-goalie situation, or the fact that they are second to last in the East. I'm curious, and I'm, you know, in some ways excited to see how it goes. They play again tomorrow, 7:30, at home against Philadelphia. Hell, half of the thing I'm most excited about is just to see what that crowd is like tomorrow night. Because this crowd, at times this year, has been very good. It's also been a very hostile crowd. Paul has talked about that not that long ago.
You and I were
there. Sell the team and fire Adams talks were loud and clear, but there's also been moments where that place is jumping for joy on a Tuesday night.
Right. You know? I were there, though, that Black Friday game against the New Jersey Devils where the Fire Adams chants are as loud as they had ever been, so much so that the broadcast picks it up pretty cleanly.
Oh, yeah.
And you, me, Joe, and Owen, we were all sitting in the press box that day, and we all noticed it, noticing how loud it was. The Fire Adams chants. Lo and behold, a couple games later, they start their road trip, and it starts abysmally. If the plan was really in place based on the results of the road trip, well, guess what? The first three games, it looked like it was not going to stop. And it was going to look like another one of those, oh, Kevin Adams at the tenure for another lengthy losing streak. The team does figure it out quite dramatically with Edmonton having a 3-0 lead and then almost collapsing that within an entire period. And then they score in overtime just to make sure they don't lose the game. But now, yeah, it's good though that it's good in a way that resolve stayed true. You thought you were going to do this. Three games of winning in a row did not change your mind. It's done and it's over with. I am happy that the resolve stayed. I also don't think you would have been able to sell to fans, oh, we won our third game in a row. Everything's clearly on the up and up with Adams. I don't think anyone's buying it at that point. That's where it really gets to me is you've had the better part closer to 6 years. Sometimes it's just not going to happen, and that's how it is. Honestly, I think 5 years is an acceptable amount of term for an NHL general manager. You start to see their products begin to work or not work. We've seen some of Jason Botchel's picks make late contributions after his dismissal, right? Matthias Samuelsson has become a little bit of this like extreme case of high variance, mm-hmm. where he's either fantastic or, example like last year, people can't wait to get him off the team. But that is a Botterill draft pick. Tage Thompson emerging into his own. That is a Botterill acquisition from the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Or, you know, like, that's the sort of thing. Ryan Johnson, if he ends up being an NHLer, that's a Botterill pick. You see general managers have late contributions after their dismissal. And that's why Tim Murray always upset me. There wasn't many of those. The man got dismissed, and none of his draft picks except for, I'm thinking, what, Victor Olsen?
Yeah.
And then Will Borgen, who gets taken with an expansion pick.
Yeah.
Those are Murray's draft picks that make the roster after he's fired. Cool. Bottrell, a couple of them show up. And a couple of them to frustrating degrees. Like, Luukkonen is a Bottrell draft pick, and I think people are done. Cousins is jettisoned out. Mittelstadt was already traded. Like, but those are players that started playing more and more under Kevin Adams. I will be curious to which Adams draft picks that are not in the NHL right now do show up post-dismissal. And that's one of the things that he's been lauded for, actually, is the draft acumen of the scouting department.
Building up the prospect pool, and is it, you know, actually the number one overall one? I mean, ultimately, he got rid of one of the guys, and it has worked out well. Savoy for McLeod. Oslin looks very good. Isak Rosén seems to be a bit of a tweener, but you know, we'll see as well. Devin Levi, I mean, if he comes up and is in fact their goalie of the future, like you mentioned, I mean, that's an Adams acquisition. We'll see. It's just, I mean, Kekalainen even mentioned this. You know, in years past, it was like 5 to 8 years before you really got to see some of these draft picks
and
come
that's,
in.
That's
it's
why
sort
Tim
of the
Murray,
same with these GMs of their acquisitions. It takes a little while.
That's why Tim Murray's tenure always upset me, because we didn't get much of the ripple effect afterward. Because he was such a poor drafter.
Here is Steve with us. Hi, Steve.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I know you guys were talking about the Browns for the the last few minutes, but I actually have a Sabres GM point, if that's all right.
Totally fine. Yep.
So I don't know if this has been discussed at all on the station. Forgive me if it has, but I do think it is curious that the Sabres immediately pivot to an also-ran in Cleveland, or Columbus, if you will, or at least a guy who was credible but failed and lost his job. Immediately, no hiring search, no attempt at, with accepting interviews for what I would presume still should be a valuable, wanted, desirable job in pro hockey. There's only one of 32 of them, as, sports people say sometimes, right? Like, but instead, the Sabres immediately pivot to, like, a B-minus, maybe a B-level option. And the best they're probably going to do is a B-minus, B, C-plus kind of option anyway. So I think, and I know they'll never admit this, I'm sure no one would ever admit this over there, but I do absolutely think the lack of available rejection, public rejection for the job, baked into the cake, into this decision in some way. Because if the Sabres do it, quote, right, and have an interview process, and then it comes out, months go by, and it drags on that this credible candidate was approached about an interview, but he declined. And then this other credible candidate that would be buzzy and interesting was approached about an interview and declined because he's not going to have creative control or whatever reason. I think the Sabres want to avoid that because it'll just devolve into more toxic sludge that the fans on Twitter and the fans call you and get all mad at each other and we're all just angry all the time. I'm not saying it's the deciding factor, but I absolutely think it's a factor in why they just pivoted immediately without any interview process. And I think a serious organization that is really credible and wants to rebuild its image should have not cared about any of that and still tried to do it, quote, in my opinion, more right and at least accept interviews, man. I'm not saying Kekalainen will fail. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. It probably won't work out because I'm just going to assume it won't because the Sabres haven't been good since George W. Bush was president. But, like, I'm not saying it will fail. I just think avoiding rejection and public criticism for the rejection has to be part of the process of why they immediately pivoted this guy.
Well, you've said a lot. I think I don't disagree with the overall sentiment here. You know, the word serious has been my operative word when it comes to them, or unserious, because of a lot of how you're talking. I think the timing of this move might make it right to give them some defense or benefit of the doubt here. Like, this is not when you just go out and interview candidates, right? It's the middle of the season. The off season is for that. A serious organization would either have made this change last year in the off season or the spring when Kekalainen was brought in, or of course never hired Kevin Adams in the first place because I'm not sure he was ever qualified. So, like, those are other things that could have happened. Right now, this, once you have whatever you want to say about it, an executive in your organization of his stature, then you go to him. When you're ready to do this, this is what... That's where I think maybe we disagree here. It's like, no, this is really what you do.
Yeah, they the statement they issued, Pegula said very few words yesterday, but did say, like, they took from September until April, I think is the time frame, talking to outside consultants, their management group. David Pagnotta today, with the caller in mind, Steve, I hope you can still hear us, reported that in the process of ending up on Kekalainen, the Sabres reached out to Ken Holland and Lou Lamoriello, neither of whom wanted the job. Lamoriello still hasn't landed. Holland has a job, eventually joined the Kings as vice president and GM. So those guys, I think, would outrank Kekalainen, you know, winning championships. They're also older. Certainly Lamoriello is. I'm not sure Holland how much older than Kekalainen Holland is, but I know Lamoriello is a very old man at this point. And even like his name, there was like, you know, at the airport or something, a thing with Lamoriello back in the spring before they hired Kekalainen. And the thought of hiring him at this stage of his life felt like really desperate to me. So that can cut either way. It's championships, but I don't know about, you know, someone close to 80 running your hockey team.
83.
Thank you. But there is that. Like they did try bigger, maybe bigger names. And, you know, I said this yesterday, it's not a great place to be. But I think the Sabres, in the caller even said it himself, I don't think they can attract the best. So you try to improve on what you had, and their search landed them on an eventual replacement for Kekalainen, and I don't see any harm in that. Like, if they did do the work last year that landed them this guy, it makes sense to just slide him in when you're moving the other guy out. But Holland and Lamoriello were mentioned by David Pagnotta as other people that the Sabres tried to lure in here. So
Kekalainen is younger than you.
I mean, that, wow, that he is,
wow, is right.
Spry. He must be in great shape.
He doesn't need to remove that barrier to go upstairs in his house.
No,
he'll step right over it.
Yeah.
He'll just stretch out and step right over it, and the dog will never get upstairs.
Maybe even jump right over it.
Maybe even jump right over it.
Yeah, yeah.
And land with 2 feet on the next step. What a power move that would be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.